Something close to 10% of the spending in a giant federal program may be stolen. That's the best guess of experts who suspect that Medicare fraud claims $35 billion per year. Fraud in the health program for seniors is especially acute in South Florida. It's even replacing the drug trade as the crime of choice for criminals who want to get rich quick. NPR's Greg Allen reports.
Forget Miami Vice. In South Florida now, the smart action isn't in illegal drugs. It's in something called durable medical equipment.
Wheelchairs, back braces, canes, walkers, electric beds, shower transfer tubs.
FBI Special Agent Tim Delaney says it sounds mundane, but the numbers involved are mind-boggling. $300 to $400 million in fraudulent Medicare claims this year in South Florida alone. And that's just in two counties. Even worse, that's the people who've been caught. The total amount of losses in South Florida may be 2, 3, even 10 times that much. There's so much money involved, and it's such easy pickings, Medicare fraud has now become a favorite career path of many former drug dealers. Malcolm Sparrow of Harvard's Kennedy School of Government says the FBI has interviewed drug dealers and asked them why they're moving from cocaine to wheelchairs and walkers.
Their explanation was, A, there's more money, and B, there's much less chance of being caught, and C, if I do get caught, I'm going to be treated like a white-collar criminal, not like a drug dealer.
And of course, there's also D. They're less likely to be killed in a drive-by shooting. Tim Delaney runs the white-collar crime program at the FBI's Miami office. He has 27 agents working just on healthcare fraud, and they stay busy. Since March, when a new Medicare strike force went into operation in Miami, 120 people have been charged. Many of those arrests, Delaney says, are for scams involving durable medical equipment. DME fraud.
DME has been a favorite target for a long time because you don't have to be licensed. In DME, an average person can open up a DME company, you incorporate it as a corporation, you get a billing number, and you're good to go. It's a field where you can be a relatively recent immigrant, new to America, not know anything about the healthcare system, and open up your own company and start billing.
Investigators say they see crooks start companies and immediately begin billing the government for tens of thousands of dollars a month for equipment and services that Medicare beneficiaries never receive. In South Florida, a federal investigation earlier this year found that nearly half of the suppliers of durable medical equipment were not in compliance with Medicare rules. The problem of DME fraud is so bad here that federal authorities revoked Medicare approval from every single company operating in South Florida and told them they'd have to reapply for billing privileges. But as federal authorities began to crack down on that kind of fraud, resourceful criminals moved into a new area. The new scam involves clinics that administer drugs intravenously to people with HIV and AIDS, what investigators call infusion therapy fraud. These are drugs where a single treatment can cost thousands of dollars. Crooks bill the government for the expensive drugs and then administer only saline solution, or nothing at all, to AIDS and HIV patients. An investigator for Health and Human Services, Bernardo Rodriguez, says in one recent case, people behind the fraud went so far as to doctor blood samples to convince medical personnel that a costly AIDS drug was needed.
They were actually submitting tainted blood samples. They would mix the blood with saline solution, and which chemically will lower the platelet counts, and it will have the count that was needed for that particular item.
A dark side of infusion therapy fraud, Delaney says, is that people with AIDS or who are HIV positive are often in on the scam.
They're often paid kickbacks, hundreds of dollars, to go sit in that chair and take that injection, so I'm sure they know what they're doing. They're risking their health, unfortunately, for a few hundred dollars. But yeah, those injections are then billed at hundreds to thousands of dollars per injection at the cost of, you know, to Medicare of hundreds of millions of dollars a year.
In many cases, though, Medicare beneficiaries are the victims, not the perpetrators of the fraud. In one big case last year, an employee at the Cleveland Clinic in Naples, Florida, stole billing records for more than 1,000 patients. One of the patients, 75-year-old Tom Bisceglia, says before long he received a notice from Medicare about treatment he'd supposedly received.
It was for wound treatments, apparently for wounds that wouldn't heal, and they were treatments for a procedure that I never had done.
The Medicare reimbursement for the treatment was $6,000. Bisceglia testified at a trial in which two people were convicted for identity theft and fraud. In that case, the two people involved were cousins. Malcolm Sparrow of the Kennedy School of Government says that's not unusual. Medicare fraud often involves networks of acquaintances and family members. There's a reason, he says, why it's thriving in South Florida's immigrant community.
these kinds of frauds are conspiracies. You can't do them alone. You require lawyers, clinics, administrators, accountants, and what you do is you use an existing trusted network within which the loyalties are stronger than they are to the authorities.
It's not just Medicare that's vulnerable. Medicaid and private insurance companies also are struggling with fraud. But there are a few factors that make Medicare almost a perfect target for fraud. One is that it's a trusting system set up to serve honest physicians, with few safeguards designed to weed out false claims. Also, most claims are paid automatically, so there's little or no person-to-person contact. FBI agent Tim Delaney says many carriers, the companies Medicare hires to handle its claims, are working to improve fraud detection. But their main mission isn't to root out fraud, he says. It's to pay claims quickly and smoothly.
Medicare doesn't pay as much as private insurance, so you're getting a lower reimbursement anyway, so the pressure is on to get it in the doctor's hands, the hospital's hands, the clinic's hands quicker, because that's the lifeblood of many of their practices. So there's a lot of pressure on Medicare to not take too long to scrutinize things and pay.
But one of the most surprising things about Medicare fraud is that no one actually knows how big the problem is. The federal government does track the error rate, but Malcolm Sparrow of the Kennedy School says that's mostly a check of paperwork that misses outright fraud. In the early 1990s, at the behest of the Clinton administration, he spent months studying the issue and wrote a book, License to Steal. In 1997, Congress responded with more than $100 million to combat health care fraud, money that pays for 400 FBI agents, including those on the South Florida Strike Force. But even with that money, Sparrow says, relatively speaking, Medicare spends an infinitesimal amount on ensuring the integrity of the program, just 0.03%. And that leaves him puzzled.
Why is this operation not 50 times the size? Why is it not 100 times the size? Why wouldn't we spend 1% of the Medicare budget on program integrity? Then we might get serious about controlling a problem that could be 15, 20% of the budget.
If fraud and abuse account for 20% of the current Medicare budget, that would be more than $70 billion. And that's a lot of walkers and wheelchairs. Greg Allen, NPR News, Miami.